life is blooming, and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city never fade. In this world we have our trouble, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all temptations where the roses never fade. Season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Loved ones gone to be with Jesus, of white array, now are waiting for my coming, where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Born on the night winds, voices of yore come from the far off shore. Far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love like never dies, gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright.
Voices of loved ones, songs of the past, still linger round me while life shall last. Lonely I wander, sadly I roam, seeking that far off home.
Far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love light never dies, gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright. Come in the twilight, come to me, bringing some message over the sea, cheering my pathway while here I roam, seeking that far off home. Far away beyond the starlit skies, where the love like never dies, gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet happy home so bright.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome each one here to this service to remember our sister, mother, grandmother, aunt, I'm going to miss something. So here, but just glad to see each one here this afternoon. I'm sure the family appreciates it. To begin with, let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you. We just pray for the family especially, Lord, that you would comfort them and lift them up during this time. We're thankful for the life of Marie, that she served you, and we can have hope of seeing her again, Lord, if we walk with you. And we just thank you for that blessing as we go through this service. I pray, Lord, that you would just be honored and glorified. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who had the... now I'm drawing a blank on the cards. Memorial cards. I couldn't think of the name of it, sorry. There's a reading in there of Psalms 23 that then has some extra words added on. So if you have her memorial card, you can read along with me. But this was something that Marie really appreciated, and so she wanted it a part of her funeral service. But it's Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. I'm just going to add a few of my own thoughts in looking at this psalm here. Why are, number one there, the Lord is my shepherd, why are relationships important? We know that as human beings they're extremely important, so our relationship with God is even more important to our well-being. I shall not want. Knowing that our needs are supplied brings peace, and that it comes from God brings the ultimate peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We all need rest if we want to have a healthy life, emotionally, spiritually. But rest that comes from knowing God is the best, the ultimate rest. He leadeth me beside still waters. The true and spiritual refreshment only comes from God. He restoreth my soul. He is the only one that can heal us spiritually. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Spiritual guidance from an all-knowing, all-powerful God. There's no greater comfort than that. For his name's sake, we all need purpose in our life. If we don't have purpose, we will go this way and that way. And the greatest purpose that we can have is the one that comes from God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Even though we like to think about the good things that God brings, he also brings difficulties and testings at times. But he tests us because he loves us, because we're his children. I will fear no evil. There's no greater protection than what comes from God, or he will, yes. For thou art with me. He will never leave us alone, and that brings peace, as I mentioned earlier. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Just as I mentioned that God takes us through testing, he also disciplines us for the same reason, that we're his children and he wants what's best for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We may not always think about it, but as believers, as Christians, we have the ultimate enemy in Satan, who wants to destroy us, who wants to take away our hope. But yet God is there with us, providing. He never leaves us comfortless or alone as we are going through those times. Thou anointest my head with oil. Not only does God heal us, but he also treats our wounds. And I'm speaking of the spiritual ones, emotional ones, ones that we don't pick or choose, that didn't necessarily come our way. We can let those things destroy us, or we can allow God to anoint them with oil and to heal them. My cup runneth over. I don't believe it's always physical blessings that God sends us, although he does those. But I believe this is speaking of spiritual blessings. If we walk with him, there will always be an abundance of those. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And once again, that comes, the abundance, that spiritual abundance that comes from God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope that's our goal today in our lives, to one day see Marie. And how is that possible? By walking with God, putting our hope and trust in him, that we can one day spend eternity with him, along with Marie, and all those who have been faithful in the past. I'm going to read the order of the service now, after I sit down. Nathan Coffin will get up and lead a couple of congregational songs. And Terrell Yoder will have the sermon. And then there'll be another song by the Leroy Martin family. Then there'll be a reading of the obituary by Elijah Slabel. And then Terrell will have the closing. And then there'll be another song with the Leroy Martin family. And then one more congregational at the very end. And then after that, the committal. So each of those, as you have part, can get up when it is your turn.
Take the Zion's Praises, the green book in your racks, and turn to song number 615. Song number 615, Some Sweet Day.
Thank you.
631. Number 631, when we all get to heaven.
I too want to thank each of you for being here. I know it's a comfort to the family for you to come and share this day with them. And again, we just want to tell you as a family how much we care and know that today is not necessarily an easy day for you, but yet we have that hope we talked about earlier. And, you know, none of us had this in our schedule a week ago, that today we would be meeting here like this. But up until the time that the Lord returns, this is the way for each of us someday. We will all come to this point someday. And that can either be a day of great hope or a day of great sorrow for each one of us. And we're thankful that for Marie, we believe it's a day of great hope and joy because she was ready to meet the Lord. She had that testimony and that life that we believe she was ready. And I know in the last number of years, and even especially more recently, was looking forward, I think, a great deal to the time she could go and be with her Savior. The songs that the Martin family are singing today and the congregational songs, all of them, were on a sheet of paper that she had listed out songs for her funeral. And they were all out of the Zion's Praises, and she had them all listed out. And they have a theme, it seems like, and that is heaven and being there and being past this life and a time of joy. And so we know she was looking forward to that. And then I know that psalm that Kevin shared, appreciated those thoughts. She really appreciated it. And in the passage of Scripture I want to use for the message, she had one verse written on that paper, and we're going to look at that verse for the message today. I always appreciated Marie, and like I shared with the family earlier today, I remember when her son Dwayne and I, we went to church together, and then later went to school together, and spent a lot of time together, had a lot of fun. And so I was in their home often, and we were just about the same age, and we'd often go down. I just remember Marie being such a good hostess and a good cook, and we just always had a good time there, and of course enjoyed Henry there as well. But thinking today of Marie in particular, always just appreciated her spirit, and then through the years of just being visiting with her, and just always appreciated those visits. Not one to be complaining about things, and just we always had a good time when we went to visit Marie. And I appreciated that, and appreciated the times that we were able to spend together. Her life was not always easy, and she had difficult times in her life, and yet she kept that sweet spirit. I think of, for instance, Dwayne, her son, losing him to an accident at a young age. I believe he would have been 25, I think, around that age, and yeah, that was one of the things in her life, and other things of difficulty, and yet keeping that spirit of appreciation for her God and wanting to follow him even through the hard times of life. And maybe the message today, maybe this verse was part of what encouraged her. So if you have your Bibles, you would like to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. I'm going to read actually the first 11 verses. We're going to focus primarily on verse 10. That's the one that she had written down. And this part of Isaiah here is, some would say, maybe the final restoration of Israel or hope for Israel. And it's gives them some comfort dealing with them and God's plan for them. But I think we can take verse 10 quite personally, as I think she did. And so I'd like to read that right now. I'll read the first 11 verses. It says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over the kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, and drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. And then verse 10 that she had written down, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. And verse 11 there, just making a couple of comments about that before we look at verse 10 in particular. Those that strive with us shall perish. And I think about who strives with us more in this life than Satan himself, wanting us to fail, wanting us to fall, wanting us to stumble and turn away from God, Satan himself. But in the end, who will perish? It's Satan, not the Lord and his children. We will be victorious. So this verse 10 starts out and it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And I'd like to think about that, fearing not, and be not dismayed. And I thought about maybe a little bit of the idea of a child who's maybe out in a dark woods, walking through the woods, and maybe there's the sounds of the night, and a child could be afraid. And someone walking beside them says, "Don't fear, I am with thee." Now, it would make a big difference who says that as to whether or not the child will continue to be afraid or not. Let's say it's a 6-year-old child and they're walking through the woods and they're afraid. They hear some sounds, they're not sure what it is, and they're trying to get home and it's dark. And they're walking along beside their little 4-year-old sister or brother. And the little one says, "Oh, don't worry, I'm with you." It's probably not the same level of comfort as if they're walking along beside dad or someone that they have learned can protect them in times of trouble. And so when it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee," the important thing there is who is the I am that's with thee. We fear if God is not with us. We should. But we don't fear if we know who is with us. You see, if you were walking through any area where maybe you were afraid, and you knew the person that you were walking with could see everything, knew everything, was greater and stronger than anything, and loved and cared for you, you wouldn't really be afraid. That person stronger than anything that can come up against them. The person knows everything. They can see everything. There's nothing hiding behind something in the woods that God doesn't see. And there's nothing hiding behind something in this life that's going to jump out at you that God doesn't know is there. God knew this day was coming. God knows when each of our days are coming. But we don't have to fear that if we trust and walk with God. "I am with you," he says. "I am with you." So we don't have to fear. I notice in this passage, I like to notice something. He says, "For," and you'll see this "I am" several times. It says, "I am with thee. I am thy God," and then you see the promises that come with that. "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee." The "I wills" come after the "I ams." And so it's important, who is this God that is making the claims, "I will"? I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, because I am the one that can do it. And so for Marie and for all of us, if we go through as that psalm says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," if we walk that valley alone, it's a scary place to be. And I'm not saying it does not have its— we wouldn't be trepidatious walking through it even with Christ with us. Of course, there's something about our flesh that wants to continue to live. But if we walk through it with God by our side, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be dismayed. because the great I Am is with us. He says, I am with thee. That is I. God is with us. God is with us. When it says to fear not or be not dismayed, that word dismayed is interesting in the Hebrew. It's a word that has to do with the idea of looking around or looking at something and then maybe having terror or something. Like you look at something and you're concerned about it. So God is saying here, you don't be afraid and don't look around with fear. And I would just encourage you as a family, you know, this is a new time in life. You've not been here before. You've been used to caring for mom and for grandma, and all of a sudden she's gone. There's changes to be made. But God says, don't fear and don't be dismayed, or don't look around, almost with the idea of looking around for something to be afraid of. Don't do that. It's easy to do at a time like this. You start looking around for what's next? What should I? No. He says, don't do that. Rather, you look at him rather than looking around. So don't be dismayed, or don't look around for things to be concerned about. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on him. Why? Because, again, he is with us. And then he says, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Now, sometimes we feel pretty weak in life, and I know it's quite a while since Marie could actually walk and had a lot of strength. And I don't think that he's saying here, I will strengthen thee, and the fact that he gives us a lot of physical strength at times. Sometimes he does, but not always. But he can give us that inner strength that we need to go through life. Even though Marie didn't have much strength left for quite a while to do the things she would have liked to have done, I believe she had an inner strength, and I believe we can have that from God. And I want to just encourage you as a family, now is the time to rely on God's strength, not your own, because our own strength wears out pretty quickly, as we know, in a time like this here. But God's can give us that inner strength that can carry us through the things that maybe we would fear otherwise. He said, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And who doesn't need help in life? Some people think they don't. They come to a time like this and maybe they realize they do. And some people never really recognize that they need help in this life. They can do it on their own. They've got it all covered. But again, when we think about it from a physical standpoint, there came a point where Marie needed help. She did. She needed people to help her on a daily basis to survive physically. But I think she knew all her life that she needed God to help her even through the other things. And like I said, she went through a lot of things in her life that were not the greatest, not the most pleasant, as we all do. But I think she went to God for her help and her strength. So God says, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee, or I will hold thee up. And I thought about that a little bit too with a child that maybe gets tired of walking. And finally, they stick their little arms up and they ask whoever they're walking with, carry me, hold me, carry me. And for those of you that are parents or have been parents, or maybe you had experience with children, sometimes the little ones, they get tired, and then you carry them, and after a while you get tired because they get heavy after a while. And you want to put them down, and they're like, no, carry me. They want to be carried. They want somebody to hold them up. And that's how it is in life sometimes. We get tired of the daily things of life. And again, God doesn't pick us up physically and carry us along, but I think he does spiritually and emotionally, and even sometimes in physical ways. He picks us up and carries us along. And I know it's been a lot of work to care for Mom, and I think you found strength, God, carrying you sometimes. And you know something, we care for parents, grandparents. Many of you do, many of you have, and many of us will be at a place where we will be cared for. And we want people to help us, to hold us up and help us. And I believe that God sees that and honors that when we do that. Sometimes we think we're out of strength, but God sees that. And God knows. And we can find our strength there. And I believe God, it's one of the things about God that I find so amazing is He cares about those who cannot care for themselves. And I believe He appreciates when others care for those who cannot care for themselves. When Jesus was preparing to leave this earth physically, He said, "I will send my Holy Spirit." He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." And that word comfortless in the Greek basically means, "I will not leave you orphaned." I will not leave you orphaned. It's the word that's used there. Why? Because God cares for those who cannot care for themselves. Jesus knew that we, without His Spirit, would be as orphans, in a sense. He knew we needed Him. And so as we care for others and help Him, in a sense, hold others up, I believe God sees that. I know He does. And he appreciates that. And He rewards us in ways that maybe we don't even recognize for caring for other people. But that's what God wants. And He does this, it says, with the right hand of my righteousness, He says. Or with, we could say, with the strength of His right arm. Or He does this for us because He is a righteous, holy, loving, and caring God. If we serve Him and we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, as Sister Marie did, we will experience, I think, this verse in a different way throughout eternity. And yet, throughout all of eternity, I think we'll experience the love from God that is in this verse, of God wanting to care for us. God will do that. If we could see Marie right now and how she can walk again, take care of herself again, not struggling to breathe, none of those things, I think we would be like, wow, we'd be so amazed at the love of God and what a new body is like and how He cares for us. And we would be able to come back to this and say, of course God is with us. Of course He strengthens us. He will help us. But can everyone claim this? Well, we can. The Bible says that He does not want anyone to perish, but He wants everyone to come to Him. But we will not experience these things, really, unless we have become a follower of Jesus Christ. We cannot expect to someday get to heaven and see Marie if we have not become a follower of Jesus Christ. Not everyone goes to heaven. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a choice to make in this life. In this building right now, with very few exceptions, we all have to make a choice. Marie made her choice. She can't choose anymore. Maybe some children or some others who are not maybe capable of making that choice the same way that others, but for the most part, most of us here that are listening to me and understand what I'm saying are capable of making a choice, and that choice will determine our destiny for all eternity. forever. Scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. The Bible also says that some men's sins go on before. In other words, they're forgiven, they're taken care of, and some men's sins follow after. They meet us at the judgment. And so we need to become a follower of Jesus Christ, which means that we, through faith, accept him and understand that he is our Savior and that he is the only way to get to heaven. As we think about this verse and what all he did there, we recognize that because of his love, he came here to earth and died on a cross to save us and rose again so that we can be raised again as well. So we take him as our Savior and Lord through faith, and that includes things like repentance. And that means repentance simply means changing direction. Instead of following after ourselves, and following after sin, following after whatever, the pleasures of life, whatever, we turn and we follow after God. That's what repentance means. It means changing direction. Instead of following our own desires, we see what God wants. And we can find that in his word, and his Holy Spirit is faithful in convicting us and showing us that through his word. The Bible talks about confession. We confess our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, every sin, and cleanse us, it says, from all unrighteousness. We can be pure and clean before him. Confession also has the idea of being willing to share with others that this is what we've done. This is where we're going. And then with that naturally comes out a desire to follow God's word, as much of it as we could possibly understand. And if that's the case, the fruit will show. God will make sure that our lives bring forth the fruit of repentance if we do that. And that is God's desire for everyone. The Bible says that he does not want anyone to perish. That's why he gave his life for us. And we must submit to him if we want these blessings. And so God wants to give us his strength and his help. And he wants to give us heaven for eternity and to be with him. But we have to make a choice in this life. Is that what we want? And are we willing to accept it by faith? Give our lives to him? Or are we wanting to just live our lives for ourselves, take our chances that, well, I hope I'm a good enough person to get there? Well, there's none of us that are good enough on our own. And I think I could prove that to anyone here today. If you wanted to sit down and talk about it, we all know we're not good enough for a perfect and holy God without him saving us and forgiving us of our sins. And we're thankful for the testimony of someone like Marie who has chosen to do that. So we have people in this life that have given us an example to follow. And we have a God who said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And God wants to give each of that strength and love. And I know for the family, he certainly does want to do that as well.
Just over the river, just over the river, I'm told is the city of God. Its gates are of pearl and its streets are of gold, and by glorified beings they're trod. And Jesus, my Savior, has gone to that city, a place for his own to prepare. In the house of the Father, the mansions are many, and one is awaiting me there. Just over the river, just over the river, that beautiful city I see. And Jesus, my Savior, has gone to make ready a place in that city for me. Just over the river, just over the river, the city that knoweth no night. It needeth no sun, neither needeth the moon, for the glory of God is its light. In that city are loved ones awaiting my coming, expectant they stand on the shore. Shall I enter my mansion in heaven, a pilgrim to roam nevermore? Just over the river, just over the river, that beautiful city I see. And Jesus, my Savior, has gone to make ready a place in that city for me. Just over the river, just over the river, I'm told is the city of God, where the feet of his children, its streets of pure gold, shall forever in ecstasy trod. For Jesus, my Savior, has gone to that city, a place for his own to prepare. In the house of the Father, the mansions are many, and one is awaiting me there. Just over the river, just over the river, that beautiful city I see. And Jesus, my Savior, has gone to make ready a place in that city for me.
Was asked to share the obituary. Marie F. Zook, 88, of Goshen, formerly of Wakarusa, died 2:55 p.m. Thursday, September 9th, 2021, at her home. She was born August 25th, 1933, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to Reuben and Emma Stolzfus Beiler. On November 14th, 1953, she married Henry M. Zook, and he died May 11, 2010. Surviving are daughter Loretta, Matthew Slaybaugh of Wakarusa, daughters Norma and Glenda, beloved grandchildren, brother Paul and Elsie Beiler of Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and a sister, Ruth and David Martin of Pine Falls, Manitoba, Canada. Preceding her in death are her parents, husband Henry, son Dwayne Zook, brother Leroy Beiler, and a sister Neoma Beiler. Marie was a homemaker and loved to crochet afghans and embroider quilt blocks. She was a member of Salem Mennonite Church for 58 years. Memorial donations may be directed to Northwood High School to assist their life skills young adult program that grandson Dwayne attends. Was also asked to share a letter from Marie's sister Ruth in Canada because she can't be here because of border restrictions and so on. And so her letter reads like this. One word comes to mind when I think about my sister Marie. That word is courageous. She lived courageously when the terrain was rough in her life's journey. Sometimes even mountains seemed to stand in her way, but she did not give up. It takes courage to be the godly wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. There's changes, there's needs, there's challenges. All needing big doses of love, she dished out courageously. She made their house a home, a haven, and warmly welcomed guests. What fun memories Dave and I have of our visits. The many miles that stretched between Manitoba and Indiana did not keep our hearts apart. When I was a little girl, we slept together and our bedroom wasn't heated. She helped to keep my feet warm. In more recent years, she warmed my heart with her encouraging words via the phone. When COVID restrictions kept the door of her room closed and she sits there alone, she tells me there's so much to see out her window. I can see the cardinals at my feeder. And oh, she chuckles, that worker is running. I bet she's late for work. It takes courage to find beauty and humor through the window instead of focusing on a closed door. I will miss those phone chats. We will each miss Marie in our own way. But when Jesus comes for someone we love and takes them home, should we not be encouraged to walk with Jesus in our own earthly journey?
Thank you, Elijah, and that was a special letter. It brought back some memories and how she loved to look out the window and see the birds. And that was special. For a few announcements here, just following the service here, we'll be going out to the cemetery for the committal service. And everyone's welcome to come out there if you can, if you'd like to. And everyone is also welcome to stay for the meal. And if you can't come out to the cemetery, and you'd like to stay for just visit with the family, have a meal here, just go on over here to the fellowship hall, and you can go ahead and get your food. You don't have to wait for everyone to get back, although I don't think we'll be out there real long, but you don't have to wait. And I would encourage you, if you see the family coming in, just make way for them, encourage them to go through the line. And we'll have prayer here for the meal in closing. And then also, when we dismiss here, everyone can follow the family on out. But pallbearers, maybe as we start the dismissal with the family, you can get up and go back by the doors back there. And again, I want to just thank you for coming. And I want to leave you with these thoughts here, especially the family. Says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, as with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we just bow before you right now and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for being the God and Savior, Marie, and for many of us that are here today. And Lord, I trust that it would be for all of us, that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that you would just speak to their heart and draw them to yourself, Lord, as I know you want to do. So Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with the family in a special way, continue to show them your grace, strength, and mercy. And for those that couldn't be here today that are part of the family, Lord, I pray that you would be especially close to them and just give them your grace in a special way. They would have loved to have been here and couldn't, Lord. I pray that you would be with them. Lord, I pray that you would be with the committal service. We ask for your presence there. And Lord, we also thank you for the food that's been prepared. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless those that have shared it. Bless it to our bodies. Help us to use the strength that we get from it in your kingdom. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when those called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.